When I was 26 years old, I went to Zion Church in Souderton. It was a GC church at that time. It's now MCUSA. And the treasurer was this Dutchman. I think he would speak Dutch with me if I had known it. But he was bald as a pool ball. And I was 26, and I looked at him, and I said, "Irvin, do you think I'll go bald?" And he said to me, "Let me tell you something. It's the best thing that could ever happen to you." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because they don't put marble tops on cheap furniture." So I guess I'm not cheap today, I hope. I see a lot of silvery hairs, too, on the men. Now, not on the women, but on the men that I didn't see when I left. I'm really glad to be here today, and I'm really glad that you invited me to come. This is a great church, and I have always felt good about each and every one of you. And this morning, I want to begin this message with a question, maybe two questions. And I want you to think about it. And what I do in my congregation, I ask for feedback. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. But that's how I preach. How important is it to you? Now, this is personally. How important is it to you personally to be appreciated, to be valued, to be affirmed? And how essential do you think it is as a church here at Zion to utilize the ability that you have to affirm, to appreciate, to invite people to express themselves and then say, "You know, I really love you. I really like you. I really want you in my life." When you ask those questions, ask yourself another question. How critical is it to be like that for the church to be healthy and to grow? Is appreciation, the spirit of appreciation, important to you? Anybody want to say? Tony? Is that a thumbs up? Oh, thank you. All right. Elwood, how about you? Do you think a church can operate without affirming one another, appreciating one another? But how do we share that? Do we do it through ministries? Do we do it personally? How does it work? Well, I'm going to tell you how it works. Some years ago, I was in Broadway, and I said, "Well, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to get myself a sub." So I went in, and I was waiting in line. And there was this person that I knew that was in front of me. And she turned around, and she smiled and waved, and I waved at her. And I hope I'm getting the story straight. And that was about it until I got to the counter. And she rang up my bill, and I said, "Well, how much do I owe you?" And she says, "Nothing." I said, "What? I'm coming tomorrow." In fact, make it two subs. And that's what I wanted to say. And she would have said, "Okay, you can pay for the next one." And I said, "Well, who would have paid for this?" She said, "I shouldn't tell you, but it's the lady that's walking out the door. I said, oh. So she turns around and she smiles at me, and I smile at her and say, thank you for doing that. And we both said something like, well, you have a good day. That meant a lot to me because it was unexpected. It was unearned. It was not something that I would have imagined that this person would have done. Do you have any idea about who I'm talking about? Your pastor. You did that for me. She didn't really know me that well. I knew her family and laws more, but she did that for me. And you know, the rest of my day was different than when it started out, because it proved something to me that is very essential in being the church. We have all these programs, and as moderator, I deal with protocol, I deal with programs, I deal with bylaw changes. We do it over Zoom. But to be honest with you, do I really know some of those people? No. But I'm becoming aware of who they are, but by Zoom. But it's different when you're taken out of a controlled environment and something leads you, and I don't know, what led you to do that?
I don't remember.
You knew I was poor, right?
I wanted to honor you.
You wanted to honor me. Why?
You served the church.
I served the church. Okay. And your experiences, hasn't that made you feel good? Hasn't that made you feel empowered? Let's look at it conversely, though. What does it feel like when you do something for someone and they don't return an affirmation? When they don't show any appreciation. Never a thank you. Never a what you did for me that day touched me. It changed my life. Never saying what you did for me or what you said to me empowered me to be different. And in turn, pass that on to someone else. And folks, if you multiply that by how many people are here today? 100, maybe? If the spirit of appreciation and affirmation is not evident in the church, and people take other people for granted in the church, what does that church look like? The vitality and the strength of the church depends on the attitude of the people that make up the church. And if you do not believe that, you haven't read Acts 2. Because Acts 2 tells us that after Pentecost, the Spirit of God got a hold of the people, and what did they do? They came together and they went to the temple together, they ate together, they broke bread together. If somebody had a need, it was met. That's what it says scripturally. But the thing that really gets me when I read that every time was the ending of those first five verses. And what it says is, and they were finding favor. They were finding favor with the people. Which people? The people that weren't Christians, the people that were watching them, the people that were saying to themselves, hey, they've got something. They've got a love. They've got an appreciation for each other. They take care of each other. They affirm each other. They help each other. And the result is, what was it? Anybody want to say what that last verse was there? And God was adding daily, daily to their numbers. If we're not growing, it could be because we are not reaching people with what they had. It doesn't say anything about hospitality committees. It doesn't say anything about sending out surveys to see what people wanted. They already knew that. It was in their spirit of giving and loving, because the Holy Spirit had come upon them and they too had experienced that. I don't want to preach too long. But what I want to say here is that we have to fight an attitude that is in us. Well, several attitudes. One, that somebody else can do that. Somebody, that's what we got hospitality committees for. That's why we have potlucks. That's why we have those things. But you know, I still think about that experience that I had with Sarah. That was out of her context. I was not a member of this church. I was somebody that she didn't know very well, but she did that. Much of what happens as far as bringing people into the church is what happens outside the church. It's the finding the person and asking God's Spirit to say, who is it that I can affirm today? Who is it that I can speak into their lives? Who is it that I can ask, are you okay? Is that what we do? So how do we, as a church, respond individually when we do something for someone and it's not appreciated? You know, one way is to deny that you really feel that way. You ever push it down? Oh, I'm not supposed to feel a sense of being upset because they didn't acknowledge what I did for them. In fact, it's for the glory of God anyway, isn't it? Isn't it? That's a good attitude to have, but many of us actually need that sense of affirmation, and it would be great if we did it. I think that one of the things that we need to do as a church is we need to cancel church one Sunday and say, God, we're going to prepare all week to make the difference in somebody's life, to do something kind for them, and come back and talk about it. Wow, what a spirit-filled meeting that would be. And you may be surprised. Invite them to come back with you. You might be surprised at how many people come. We understand what it means to be used for doing a good deed. We had a crew of guys that got together, and for a couple years we were putting on roofs to raise money for our church building over at Grace. And we had this lady, she was very wealthy, who wanted us to put on this roof, and she'd pay for it. She never paid for anything. We did it all, everything. And one of the guys said, I'm not doing this anymore. If this is the way we're going to be treated, I'm not doing this anymore. And the other said, but who are we doing it for? We're not going to say a word about it. I think another thing that we need to understand about doing things for others is that we want instant gratification, don't we? When we do something for somebody, you think about it. We want immediate attention. We want people to notice what we're doing for them. But it doesn't always happen that way. Instant gratification is not the way things work. The way it works is that you do something for somebody and then you're surprised years later, like you're surprised that I'm preaching about you this morning over a little thing with a sub. Can I get another sub? Can you tell me sometime when you go? Anytime? Okay. And I remember what, I'd been a Christian for 3 weeks at JMU, and one night I was coming home from a Bible study at Broad Street. That's how quickly I got hooked up to the Mennonites. Oh, man. And here, this guy, we were freshmen, comes in, he passes, almost passes out on the front porch of the dormitory we're staying in. But he was still awake. And I said, Nate, what's wrong? What's wrong? I was at a fraternity party and I got too drunk and I bleh, bleh, and he threw up. So I cleaned him up, I took him inside, put him to bed, and I said, the only thing that I said to him was, this isn't the way to live, Nate. You don't have to go to frat parties and be in a fraternity based on, you know, the need for being a part of something as real. I have found that in Jesus Christ. I have found that in the Mennonite church. You don't have to do that. There's another way. And that's all I ever said to him. 17 years later, I'm pastoring up in Souderton. I get this nice letter from him and said, I remembered everything that you said. I just want you to know it took me 10 years, but I'm a Christian and I'm the choir director of an AME church, African Methodist Episcopal Church. And I'm thinking to myself, he never even acknowledged that I said that. And I don't remember, I didn't even remember it until he brought it to my, but the gratification I got that God used that. And God is in control. And sometimes it does take longer for people to come around. We can't expect to give to somebody and not keep giving just because they don't give to us the first time. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1, puts it this way. You can cast your bread upon the water now. You know this verse. It's very... You can cast your bread upon the water now, but only after many days will it come back to you. I believe that with all of my heart that this is the approach which is vital to the growth of a congregation. I appreciate outreach and evangelism committees. I appreciate people that organize to do that. But it is the role of every person to do that. And sometimes I think, well, they're going to do it. I don't need to be aware of that. But I have to tell you, in the book of Acts, I don't see evangelism committees. I don't see outreach ministries committees. I see all of them involved. And you never know, folks. Well, I'm real shy, you know, and I used to be shy. I know you don't believe that. Ask my wife. We went on our first date, and I didn't know what to say to her, and she kept saying, did I do something wrong? Is there something wrong? I said, no, I'm scared. I don't know what to say, but not today. You do not know how your words or your actions may move someone in a way that you never would have thought. The person that seems the furthest away from the gospel is the guy that's the closest. Remember that. So don't give up. So in conclusion, the final point I want to make here for you this morning is about the power of appreciation and what it does to others who experience it. Jesus said to the man, you're healed of leprosy. He says, now go and tell others. What do you think he did that whole day? Well, I went over to this guy's place and he saw me walking by and I saw him walking by and I said, sure would like to get healed today. And he healed me. Well, I got to get on. Now, I'm a hill guy. He was probably so overwhelmed with gratitude, he was telling everybody, and everybody was going, hey, we heard that story once. I'm going to tell you again. No, go tell somebody. Okay. And so don't keep it to yourself. Pass it on. And the second thing he said, don't live in the moment. What did he say? He says, rise and go. Go. That's my favorite word in Scripture. The Great Commission, go and make disciples. But you know, I'm going to say something here, and you might disagree with me. The word go doesn't mean you go from the church. It doesn't mean you go from your home. It means that you go from yourself. You go outside of yourself, because that's where it happens. When you say, today I'm going to go, and I hope that God gives me somebody that I can talk to, or that I can get a feeling that that person needs something today. And you know that. You know that you've passed up people that would have loved to talk to you about it, their problem, or something, and you didn't want to be bothered with it. That's another biblical story. You know what story that is? The Good Samaritan. And I know I was rushed the other day, and I really should have stopped and helped this guy on the road, but I had to get somewhere. The Good Samaritan, not so good, not so good. So today I'm challenging you, and I'm asking you to consider what you can do, that you can be a friend to someone. You know, I was talking to David, and I'm going to stop, David King. He's a great guy, by the way. And he's got all his hair. It makes it even better, doesn't it? We were talking about how this church is taking a new look at itself, and that it wants to grow its leadership from within. And I applaud you for that. I do. Because I think God provides you with everything that you need for your church. And if he doesn't, then someone will come. I believe that. It may not be the most educated. They may not even be Mennonite. But they will fill the bill for what God wants you to do in that time. And I'm challenging you to raise up these young people. I was hearing about Kevin back there. Man, Kevin, when I was here, you were a little fart. I can't believe how you are Kevin, right? See, I never forget a face. You're a handsome young man. Just put yourself out beyond yourself. Go. I mean, you might get in your car today and God might lead you to something that you never thought you would experience. But that's the joy of being the church. Didn't Peter get up from a dream and said, oh man, I'm not going to do this. And God said, yes, you are. You're going to get up and you're going to go with these guys to Cornelius. And that was life-changing for him. But he had to go outside of himself. You understand what I'm saying? It's not something that he wanted to do, but it's something he did, and it changed his life. And I tell you, I didn't want to go to this church here the night that J.C. Wanger spoke. Let's see, that was 1970. Elwood, you were about 20 then. You were probably there that night he spoke. I don't even know how we got here. There were 8 of us from JMU. Or Madison College. But the thing that was awesome about that was that there were 2 old people, 2 old people in their 70s, and we were 19 years old, and they were the only ones that came up to us because we had long hair and beards and said, who are you? well, we're not sure. Who are you? I'm Loy, and this is my wife, Elizabeth. Would you like to come to our house for cookies and lemonade this Friday? And I looked at them, lemonade and cookies? I said, yeah, we're going. We're coming. And he started asking us about our lives. And then 8 became a Bible study, came back the next Friday and the next Friday and the next Friday. And when he died at 81, he and his wife had discipled over 200 and some Madison College students. Not Eastern Mennonite students. Madison College students. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it beautiful being the church? Amen.